Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Said, what in the world is going on? The very first verse of this chapter tells you what's going on. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. In other words, they were ganging up on Judah. And that's the word God gave them. You shall not need to fight, for the Lord will be with you. In Jesus' name, I'm preaching tonight. I preached the other night on the supernatural power of praise. I preached on the supernatural effect of praise. Tonight I'm preaching on the supernatural victory of praise. You may be seated. The question is, would you rather fight or praise? That's the question. Some people I've known, even Christian people, would rather fight than they would praise. Would you rather fight or praise? That's the real question. God did not say you could not fight. God did not even say you should not fight. God did not even say you could not fight and win. God simply said you need not fight. It's a real futility to fight a battle that God has said you don't need to fight. It's a futility of resources that you could use someone else. Fighting is risky. When you fight, you expend a lot of valuable energy. You might get injured when you fight. You might even get killed. Fighting is dangerous. There is an alternative to fighting, and it's given to us in this short verse of my text. He said three things. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. This is not the first time nor the last that God has instructed his people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and let God fight their battle. When Moses was leading the people out of Egypt and out of their slavery and out of their bondage, and Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let them go. He came with 600,000 people to chase them to the Red Sea. When Moses looked back, his 3 million people were surrounded by those people that had weapons and swords and things they didn't have, and the Red Sea was before them, and Egypt was behind them, and God said the very same thing through Moses. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today for the Egyptians whom you have seen today. I love this verse. You shall see them again, no more forever. Oh, that's one of those battles I won, where no more forever. Not just no more, no more forever. That's never, ever going to happen tonight again in your life. Tonight, God can give somebody a victory that you'll never, ever face that enemy again, no more forever, because you have got the victory over them. And God did it. He put back the Red Sea, and it stood up like walls, and Israel marched through the Red Sea. And I love this verse. And when Egypt got in there, the Bible said, and God took their wheels off. It's always good when God takes the devil's wheels off, and he simply can't chase you anymore. And so this is not the first time, but God said, if you're going to see me fight your battle, number one, you need to set yourself. What does that mean, set yourself? It means withstand. It means station yourself. Take your stand. The next explanation is simply not a marginal thing, but you literally got to dig in and say, I'm not giving in and I'm not compromising because I am now investing all of my attention on God and God's ability. It means when you say set yourself to totally trust in God, to believe that God will make an escape, that God will make a way where there is no way, that God will overcome the enemy when there is no physical, natural, normal explanation. God is going to make a way. You are setting yourself. You're believing God. The next one is, stand ye still. The injunction is not given to restrict the mobility of God's people. That's what a lot of people think it means when he says stand still. This duty represents a spiritual disposition that ought to characterize to whom God's unfailing promises have been given. It does not mean paralysis. It doesn't mean freeze in place. It means focus. When you talk about stand still, it means throw your attention on God. It means look to the hills which cometh your strength. It means lift up your eyes. It means look around because the chariots of God and the horsemen are all around you. It simply means, when he says stand still, not to be immobile. It simply means allow God to be fully in charge. See the salvation of the Lord with you. That means watch God fight your battle. It's always so amazing when you are facing something that is dire in your life and you don't have a clue, you don't have a solution, you don't have an answer, you don't know what your next move is, and you finally just focus your attention on God and say, God, you're going to have to do this because I just don't have the resources or the ability, but I am putting it in your hands, and then watch God mysteriously and miraculously move, and suddenly that immovable object is moved. That cantankerous person is brought down to a peaceful nature, and you say, that was simply the hand of God. I'm here to tell somebody here tonight that has been in a real battle, it's time to just lay down your sword and turn it into a plowshare and say, I'm going to break up some fallow ground of praise because I haven't been able to get the lawyer to get it done. I haven't been able to get my boss to give me the raise. The door simply won't open. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to focus my attention on God. And there are people that belong to this church and every church in America that get themselves in binds, and when they do, they try to work it out themselves. They try to get a second job or a third job. I just got to. I won't be. You won't see me now for the next 15 Sundays because I've taken a second job because I'm really in debt, Pastor. And they don't understand that they can come to the house of God and focus their attention on God and the things of God. That's what it means when it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It means focus first on God. Put God first. He's not my last resource. He's my first resort. He's the one that I put first and say, I can see this battle is going to be too big for me. I'm not going to be able to fight it, so I'm going to put off my armor, and I'm just going to let the Lord do it His way. And so that's exactly what God was saying to Jehoshaphat and what He was saying to Judah. Said, there's no need for you to fight this battle. In first place, you got too many enemies. The Moabites are against you, the Ammonites, and they've got all their friends and their armies with them. You're totally surrounded. You're outnumbered. Friend, it doesn't matter when you're outnumbered, when God's on your side. God is great. You know, God can change people's nature for a moment that He'll never save. I've got a lot of people in my life that were a problem, but God would change their nature for a space of time. They didn't get saved. They didn't join the church. They didn't speak in tongues. They didn't get baptized. They just changed their nature for a moment because God did it. And He gave a space for me to get what I needed. And I'd have to laugh when I got away saying, that's not their natural response. Those people are not nice people. Those people are not good people. Those people don't love God. Those people don't love me. Those people don't love the church. But God calls them to give into my bosom, and I have to realize that it was the Lord that fought my battle. I could have fought them in court. I could have put a hurting on their face with a fist, all kinds of things. A pastor friend of mine told me last night about getting in a fist fight. Oh, those days are long gone. First place, I'm too old to fight. When you get my age, you no longer fight. You carry a gun. But the best thing you can do is get your praise on. Not try to do it yourself. Let the Lord fight your battle. He said, you just need not fight this battle. There are things you're worrying about that you don't have to worry about. There are things you're discussing and arguing about you don't have to discuss or argue about. If you could spend 15 minutes in the corner with God, you'd come out a victor, and you spent the last 30 days trying to figure out how to win that battle, and you can't win that battle. It's going to take a supernatural assistance to get that victory. It's going to take a supernatural praise. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that praise is a whole lot more powerful than fighting. This text proves it is not advocating inactivity. Rather, it's telling us to refocus our attention away from the enemy and focus it on God. So many times we look at the enemy, how big he is. Instead of looking at how big Goliath is, look at how small Goliath is when you compare him to the character and the nature and the ability of the God that sent you out here. God is on your side. And so God began to redirect their energy. Instead of trying to figure out how to whip the Moabites and the Ammonites and all the other armies that assembled against them, God said, I'm going to fight your battle. But if you want me to fight your battle, there's something I want you to do. I want you to praise me in front of the enemy. There's nothing that God likes better than his people praising God in the very presence of the enemy. Didn't God say he would make a table for you in the presence of your enemies? If God's going to make a table for you in the presence of your enemies, should you worship your God in the presence of his enemies? Hallelujah. So the devil wants you to get involved in a scrimmage and a fight and keep you tied up so that you can't focus your attention on God. But God is saying you don't have to do that. He said, I'm going to be with you tomorrow, but in the meantime, let's develop a little plan. And so the Bible tells us that Jehoshaphat and all of Judah bowed their face to the ground, and they fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. That's where you start, is humbling yourself. Fall before the Lord and say, God, I am not able, but Lord, I know you're able. You're more than able. This is too big for me. They got more money than I got. They got better lawyers than I got. They're friends of the judge. But oh, my God is able to change anything. Do you believe in the supernatural power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that God is a supernatural God, that he lives right now in our lives, and he can perform wonders and miracles? I've been reading the Bible about spiritual things, and he said spiritual things are not designed with discerned with the carnal mind. Friend, you got to get spiritual to discern the things of God. You know, the Bible said he, the Spirit of truth, will come and he will lead and guide you. So many Christians don't understand spiritual things because they gave their life to Jesus, but they never got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is the one that leads you and guides you and reveals to you, and you get spiritual. And you say, there's no way that could happen. That must have been the wind of God. That must have been the Holy Ghost. That must have been the hand of God. That was the unseen hand of God working in my behalf. And it becomes easier and easier to praise God. Let me tell you about praising God. The more you praise God, the more God does, and so it becomes easier to praise God. Once you've seen God deliver you out of so many situations that you just couldn't get out, you become a natural-born praiser. You say, I've been here before. I've seen this movie before, and I know how it ends. The devil's going to come in like a flood. He's going to be bigger than me, stronger than me, mightier than me, but praise God, I'm just going to step back, and I'm going to be like Jehoshaphat. I'm going to fall on the ground before the Lord, and I'm going to begin to worship the Lord and listen for the instruction of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do what he's telling me to do, and while I'm doing what I'm doing and focusing myself on the Lord, because he's omnipresent, he's going to be dealing with the problem. He's going to be dealing with the enemy. He's going to be dealing with the devil, and when the smoke clears, I'm going to be a praiser, but I'm also going to be a victor, because God's got this thing for me, and the battle is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. That's what we got up here. These are appointed singers unto the Lord. And the Bible said they begin to sing and praise the Lord. And when they did, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were against Judah, and they were smitten. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now that many of you have enemies. I saw somebody put on Facebook today, if you don't have any haters, you must not be very gifted. If you don't have any haters, you're not very gifted, because untalented haters hate people that are gifted. If you don't have any haters, you're not very blessed, because people that are cursed hate the blessed. If you're not having any haters, you might be truly saved, because the sinners, they hate the saved. Friend, when you begin to get your coat of many colors, I promise you there are going to be some so-called brothers and sisters that want to bury you in a pit somewhere. But oh, praise God, what the devil means for evil, the Lord will turn to good. Hallelujah. Somebody in this building tonight needs to realize that that battle that has so long plagued you that you've just not been able to get the victory over, that God wants to give you the victory tonight. It might be a personal battle you're fighting. It might be an addiction of tobacco or alcohol or drugs or lust or whatever. It might not be that at all. It might be somebody that's just targeted you and you've become the very target of their hatred. Or it might be a demon spirit. It doesn't matter what it is. The truth is, it's an enemy that wants to destroy you. And the devil wants you to divert your attention and spend a lifetime fighting that person, that habit, that demon, that thing. But God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to refocus your attention tonight. The Lord said, if you'll refocus your attention tonight while you're at Living Way, he said, about 8 o'clock, something's going to happen in your house. About 8 o'clock, something's going to happen to your boss. About 8 o'clock, something's going to happen to your bank account. About 8 o'clock, something's going to happen on your job. About 8 o'clock, something's going to happen in California that's going to affect San Antonio. Something's going to affect you. It's happening in Austin that's going to affect you right here in your house, praise God. You don't have a job of fighting. Your job is to praise the Lord. And if we would erupt in this house tonight with praise that was unadulterated, unshackled, if we would praise God like we want to and like He wants us to and like He deserves to be praised, while we're praising God because He's omnipresent, He would walk down the street where you live. He would go down the house where you live, go to the factory you work in, and the Lord would begin to fight your battle. The Lord would begin to set up ambushments. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody is just one good praise session from a breakthrough. Somebody's just one good praise session from a miracle. Somebody is just one good praise session away from a victory that has been eluding them for over a year now. But praise God, help is on the way. The Lord said, you need not fight this battle. He said, for go out and I will be with you. Can somebody just set themselves? Can you just make the decision? I'm set. I'm not movable. I have made my decision. I am all with Jesus to the end of my days on this earth. I set myself, praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to stand still. I'm going to refocus my attention, not on my problem, not on my enemy, not on my pain, not on my trouble, not on my lack. I'm focusing my attention on my Lord, my Redeemer, from whom help cometh, praise God. And I'm just going to show the devil I don't care what he's doing, because I'm a praiser, and praisers always have the Lord fighting for them. As I praise God, the Lord is fighting. As I sing, the Lord is fighting. As I shout, the Lord is fighting. As I dance, the Lord is fighting. As I lift up Jesus, the Lord is fighting. Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Somebody needs to turn loose and praise God tonight. And the Lord is going to set an ambushment, praise God, in your behalf. Glory! Hallelujah, hallelujah. I bet you won't see that down at the Baptist church. Oh, I love to see people getting loose in the Holy Ghost. I'm never more at home than when I'm in the house of God and people are praising God. Oh, I don't care how they praise Him, if they're crying, if they're laughing, if they're jumping, if they're clapping, if they're singing, if they're dancing, if they're shouting, if they're just praising my Jesus, I feel right at home. Oh, give God some praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shitomamamogosotoloboria. Woo! Oh, the Lord set an ambushments tonight. The Lord set an ambushments tonight. The Lord is going to ambush some devils tonight. The Lord's going to ambush the enemy's plan tonight. Praise God. The Lord's opening the door. The Lord is making a way. Just keep praising God until you have that breakthrough you need in your family, with your children, in your body, in your health. Praise God. When you praise God, there is a supernatural victory in praise. I can promise you that in Jesus' name. Oh, I feel it all over me. I feel the glory of God in this house. Somebody's getting healed right now. Somebody's had a condition for 2 or 3 years, and you're being healed in your body right now. Somebody hadn't been able to get a good job. You're going to get a good job this week in Jesus' name. Somebody's been having trouble with your adult children, and God is going to reconcile them this week. The Lord is working on their hearts while you praise God. God is fighting your battles. Whoa, hallelujah. Praise God. And while they praised God, the Lord set ambushments. And the Bible said it this way. And when Joshua and Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, it took them 3 days to gather up their blessing. What that means is this is Wednesday. That means you're going to gather a blessing Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And when you come back Sunday, you're going to say, praise God, preacher, I've been gathering blessings for 3 days. I got a little money here. I got a little healing here. I got a little favor there. I got a little job here. I got a little love here. Praise God. I've been gathering blessing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And all of my enemies, they're dead and gone. Those that wanted to kill me, they're gone. Oh, friend, do you understand that there is victory, supernatural victory in praise? Do you really want to fight? Do you really want to spend your lifetime in a courtroom? Do you really want to spend your time arguing over the fence with your neighbor? Or do you want to say, hey, just a minute, I'm going to take a praise break. I'm going to take a praise break. I'm going to slip away. You talk about a prayer closet. How about a praise cathedral? He said, praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Learn to praise God instead of fight. And the Lord will set ambushments. He'll slay your enemies. He'll bind those evil spirits. And He will cause you to gather the spoil for days after just one praise party. According to this, one press session is worth 3 days of blessing. Hallelujah. That's the reason why we have church on Wednesday and Sunday. Hallelujah. On Sunday you praise God. Then you got Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and here we are again. And you have a praise session, and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And then you realize it's so good. After a while, you don't have to have singers up front. You don't have to have a preacher. You just get to doing it on your own. You're your own supplier. You say, I think I'll praise God here. I think I'll praise God about that. I think I'll praise God for this. I think I'll praise God for that. I think I'll turn these. Oh, that woman's really nasty to me. I think I'll just praise her into submission. I think I'll just praise my boss into a raise. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to praise myself into an open door. I'm just going to praise myself into a supernatural blessing. Oh, I go to the doctor all the time to see what he says. But praise God on my way home, Sister Gloria. I'm just praising God, saying thank you for divine health. Thank you, you wonderfully made this body, and now you're repairing it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! I tell you, there's supernatural victory in praise. Did you hear the word of God? This is the word of God to somebody that's in a conflict. Ye need not fight this battle. If you'll just praise me, I will be with you. And I will fight your battle in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody in this building right now is getting a victory that you've been straining for. I mean, you've been straining for this thing for months and months, just trying to get it to work. And it looked like when you walked in here tonight, it was farther away than it was ever been. But praise God, I'm telling you, while you're praising God, the Lord is out there setting up ambushments. And the Lord is out there binding the enemy. And the Lord is out there opening the door. And the Lord is out there finding the treasure. And the Lord is out there bringing you favor. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I believe in coming to God's house. And I come to worship Him, but I believe in praising God 7 days a week. And I'm like David, at least 7 times a day, I'll praise the Lord, because it subdues my enemy. It binds demons. It looses angels. It delivers favor at my feet. It brings healing to my body. It brings peace to my mind. It brings tranquility to my soul. It brings money to me. It puts money in the bank. It causes checks to come to me. It causes evil men to do good to me when I praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're in this building right now and you've been in any kind of a struggle, you've been in any kind of a fight, you've been in any kind of a contest, and you have not been able to get what you want, they won't give it to you. The devil won't let them. The devil won't release it. The boss won't give it to you. The door won't open. I challenge you right where you stand to throw both hands up and begin to praise God. And as you're praising God, start down these aisles as an act of obedience, just like you're marching around Jericho's walls. Start walking down these aisles and praising God and saying, God, I praise you for you fighting my battles. You're setting the ambushments. The victory is mine in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God.